Chapter 19. Promises. He shifted slightly in the cage, the accumulated sores of a year of imprisonment sending waves of agony through his body. He hardly felt the pain, hardly felt anything at all except numbness. He'd just watched his wife burned alive on a pyre. All he wanted now was death, an end to it all. His body was wasting away, and every breath was a struggle, but the emptiness in his heart hurt worse than anything he had ever known. He heard footsteps outside the cage. Maybe it was Boren, come to apologise again. His closest friend had turned his back on Cain when he needed him most, said he had a wife and daughters to think about. Could be it was Orgrim, but he was a chieftain now, and though he'd expressed regret at what had happened, the big Easterman wouldn't sacrifice his duty to his people for his duty to a friend. Or perhaps it was Magnar. His son had watched his own mother die in the flames, the boy he had raised to be a man. He wanted to die, prayed for it, but the shaman wouldn't grant him his wish until he was good and ready. Chances were, he would burn just as Mera had burned. Even the rage inside him had turned to ash. He had nothing left, not strength enough even to lift his head.
"Cain,"
rasped a voice he knew from years gone by.
"Jerick,"
Cain tried to say, but only a hoarse choking sound emerged.
"I'm getting you out of there. The shaman wants to get to you. They'll have to go through me first."
"I'm done," he managed to say. "Go. Don't worry about me."
"I made you a promise, Cain."
There was the sound of steel striking wicker.
"After you pulled me from the fire."
"Go," Cain said again, "or you'll burn too."
"Burned once already. Didn't finish me, did it?"
Cain said nothing. He had no more energy with which to speak. He heard the cage splintering just to his left, heard the snap as the grim warrior they called the Wolf grabbed hold of his prison and began wrenching it open.
"Go,"
he managed to gasp one last time. He didn't want another death on his hands, another life lost because of his actions. For a moment, there was nothing but grunting and the snapping of wicker. Then, a strong hand grabbed hold of him and pulled. Agony exploded as his broken body was dragged from the ruined prison.
"I gave you my word," Jerick said. "Got myself exiled from the Forsaken when I heard what the shaman done to you. Only way to leave the Ice Spire, short of death. But a man says a thing, a man does a thing."
Cain grunted as he was lifted and tossed over a burly shoulder like a sack of potatoes.
"I'll be there when you need me," Jerick rasped. "And that's a fucking promise."
He slid slowly from his horse. His boots crunched on the snow, and his breath misted him a chill morning air. But inside, he burned, feverish with excitement. He took a breath and tried to calm his beating heart. He didn't want to drop dead before he made it to the door. He was home. He was home, and Mera was waiting for him. Everything was just as he remembered it. The house looked like it had in his dreams, a place that held some of the best memories of his life. Some of the worst, too, but those also had to be embraced, because without them, you never really understood what was important. Not until you almost lost it. Cain made his way to the door, noting the tidy fields, the neatly trimmed trees that lined the path, proof that his wife was here, living under the same roof she'd lived under for the last 20 years. He had thought her dead, horribly murdered, burned to ashes on the shaman's pyre 3 years ago. But she was alive, and she was waiting for him. He ran a hand down his face, suddenly conscious of the scars, the month's growth of beard, the filth that caked him from neck to toe. Mera had always complained that his stubble tickled her, though she'd always had a twinkle in her eyes when she said it. He grinned, imagining the look on her face when she saw him. That had been the only thing that kept him going at times, the memory of her smile when he woke in the morning, and the lingering image of her putting Magnar to sleep. Not grand events like the day of their joining, though those were precious in their own way. It was the simple things, the everyday moments that were no different from what any other man and woman shared the length and breadth of the Haifangs, except Mera had chosen to share those moments with him. He slowed as he approached the door. The wedding wreath that had always hung there was missing. Mera sometimes brought it inside when the weather got too cold, even though the blessing of the spirits had meant it had endured the passing of seasons and years intact. So long as their love remained true. He hesitated, then knocked twice on the door, his body shivering with anticipation, tears threatening his eyes. He shook his head ruefully. There'd been too many tears recently. He didn't want Mera to think he was going soft. He waited, and then waited some more. There was no answer. Brow creasing in confusion, he knocked one more time. There was still no answer. He tried the handle and found the door unlocked. Maybe Mera was sleeping. The truth was, she wasn't getting any younger, though to his eyes she never seemed to change, despite the passing of the years. She was always just as beautiful as the day he'd married her. He entered the house, seeing the hole on the wall he'd repaired years ago, noting how clean and tidy everything was. He tiptoed over to their bedroom door and pushed it quietly open, expecting to find her sound asleep. The bed was empty, though her clothes were still there. He saw the scarf he had bought for her as a naming day gift and raised it to his nose. It still smelled of her. He wandered the house, searching for any sign of his wife. The rooms looked recently lived in, though there was no food in the larder. He popped his head outside, certain he would find Mera tending the garden, but that too was empty. Though it was covered in snow, the garden wasn't overgrown. Someone had been here not long ago.
May?
He called out, beginning to grow worried. He left the house and crossed the field to the other house, where Mera's cousin, Natalia, and her husband had lived before Garrett's passing. When he was only a few feet from the door, it thudded open. An elderly woman hobbled out, supported by a walking stick. She squinted up at Cain.
"You here to help me south along with the rest of our folk? I was expecting someone younger."
Cain stopped and stared at the wizened old crone.
"Who are you?"
The grandmother tapped her stick against the snow.
"My name's Gabs. Young King Magnar sent me here some months back."
"He did?"
Cain asked, confused.
"Why?"
Gabs shook her head.
"The lady of the house weren't well. The young king sent me to make sure her needs were being seen to. Poor thing could hardly get out of bed come the end."
Come the end.
"Where is she?"
Cain asked, his voice suddenly trembling so badly he could hardly force the words out.
"Where's Mera?"
The old woman shook her head sadly, and finally Cain understood, and all colour seemed to fade from the world.
"She passed last week. It was the illness in her lungs. I buried her by the bench in the garden, like she asked. You knew her?"
Cain barely heard. He turned away, the ground seeming to lurch beneath him, his heart a lead weight in his chest. He walked back towards the house in a daze, legs feeling as though they belonged to a different man.
"Here now, what are you doing?"
came Gabs's voice behind him. He ignored her, crossed the field and entered the house, walked down the hallway and out into the garden. He saw the shallow mound beside the bench then. It was covered in snow.
"May,"
he whispered brokenly, collapsing to his knees and scooping away snow with his bare hands, not feeling the cold, not feeling anything except an emptiness so deep he might sink into it and never find his way back out. His hands closed around something. It was their wedding wreath. He shook it softly with trembling hands, and as the snow that clung to it fell away, he saw that the leaves were as green as the day he and Mera had wed, the interweaving branches that symbolised their joining as strong as ever. He knelt there, staring up at the grey sky. Snowflakes began to drift down to settle on his face, another storm gathering overhead. He looked down at the wreath. A moment later, a sob escaped his lips, and hot tears rolled down his cheeks. All the pain surged up, began to burst from him. Footsteps crunched on the snow behind. He didn't turn, didn't want Gabs to see him in this state, didn't want to hear the old woman's awkward questions. He just wanted to be left alone with his wife and his memories.
Cain.
The grating voice cut through the air like an edge of steel. Cain turned, staring numbly through eyes blurred with tears. A scarred face met his gaze, a face he'd been sure he would never see again. Jerick took a step forward, his twin axes clutched tightly in his hands. The wolf's expression was stone. There was a darkness in his eyes that was terrible to behold, as if he had walked through hell itself. If I ever see you again, I'll kill you. That's a promise. Cain met his old friend's stare. For a moment, neither man moved. Then Cain nodded once, slowly. He turned back to Mera's grave and placed the wreath carefully down. The wolf always paid his debts, always kept his promises. He knelt there, listening to Jerick approach. He wasn't going to fight, not now. He just wished he could have seen Mera one last time. He thought of her smile, and fresh tears glistened in his eyes. The wolf shifted behind him.
Cain, he rasped again.
Aye, Cain replied calmly.
It was time. For a long moment, nothing happened. And then, an axe fell to the ground either side of him, and a strong hand squeezed his shoulder.